A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast. We have a fun episode coming up. It's me and Steve, and it's kind of like an Irish staycation special. It's for all Irish people thinking about where to go, and we're just raving about a few spots. It was a suggestion that, well, it was actually like a conversation that happened on the Patreon this morning. And I was thinking, oh, this would be good. This would be fun to chat about with Steve. And I know a lot of you are thinking about places to go, so hopefully if you have a car, this is definitely the episode for you. I will say, though, that the beginning of the episode, inspired by the fact that there was an explosion in my building lobby last night, which is actually the reason why I'm so incredibly tired right now, because I'm not a sleeper-inner, and I went to bed quite late because of this. Anyway, we started talking about, you know, being in situations where it's like an emergency, and how do you react, and we ended up having a good discussion about what to do in a situation where you see like domestic violence or you witness a helpless person, you know, being attacked. And it was actually a conundrum that we discovered, which was we're not exactly sure what the official info is on that. So we do a bit of digging into that in the episode. And what I'm going to try to do is next week, I'm going to try to have somebody on to talk about, you know, good stuff to do, the right stuff to do in those situations. Because upon sort of encountering this random story that Steve told, we realized that we don't actually know good suggestions to give to people. So needless to say, that discussion happens, kind of an unplanned discussion at the beginning of the episode. And, it's an evolving natural episode. So, you know, at the beginning, it's, you know, we're a little bit sort of the blind leading the blind on what to say, but we do a little bit of Googling and also just accept that we need to learn more information. But I think it's a good discussion, so I left it in. Then we talk a lot about the beauty of Ireland, Irish weather, great spots, Irish beaches, our favorite spots, great hotels. It's kind of a fun, lighthearted ep. And for our non-Irish listeners, I still think you'll enjoy it because it'll entice you to want to go to Ireland. And of course, there's loads of funny bits that come as a result of it, memories and stories. So enjoy that. Don't forget about the Patreon, patreon.com/Des Bishop. Sometimes every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but I'll always give the heads up on when the next episode is because, you know, this week it was Tuesday, Thursday. But they're always like YouTube lives. Well, they certainly will be for the month of June. Maybe long term, I'll start to change it up in terms of the way the content goes out. But anyway, patreon.com/Des Bishop. It's only a fiver a month. It's good value. It's good fun. We got a dedicated group of people in the comments. They drive the conversation. You know, I hadn't been pushing it that hard because, you know, I wasn't sure how it was going to go during the summer, but we've got a good rhythm going with it now. So I'm kind of pushing it hard again. It's worth the investment. Fiver a month. Do check it out at Des Bishop on Instagram. We're very open to DMs about the topics that we're talking about at the beginning of this episode. So if you have any suggestions on who to talk to, please do send them in. Thanks for all the feedback about last week's episode. It went down really well. Don't forget to follow John Costacopoulos on Instagram and let him know it was a great app. This is me and Steve, the Irish Staycation Special, and I'll be back at the end of the app. Now, I know that our podcast is not like a... It's not like an audio, it's not a visual experience, but I did a Patreon this morning and they were all making fun of me because it looks like I'm doing a hostage video with this background.
It does kind of, yeah. What would the price be on your head, Des?
Oh, I feel like it's low at the moment. I feel like you need to have both parents alive to really...
Yeah.
You have to have both parents alive and like already be married, you know? I feel like my price is low. You know,
yeah.
I feel like my aunt's and my fiance are just not going to come up with as much money as my parents would have. Not because of any financial ability, just...
They're just like, fuck him. He's had a
grand time. No, just the love, yeah. Like, a parent's love is a high value, you know?
Oh, 100%.
So, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm like, as we spoke, I'm fucking exhausted. Sorry. And I've hurt my back now in the last couple of days. And I
Oh my God, you're starting to sound like me, Steve.
I know. My lower back is, fuck me, it's tight. Oh,
oh my God. So, how old are you now?
35. I'll be 36 this year.
Welcome to fucking 35, bro. It's going to be like this for a long time. And the worst thing, there's two terrible things about back pain. The first one is that people do what I just did, even though I'm a sufferer of myself. They make fun of you for getting old. And then secondly, they give you a lot of unsolicited advice. In fact, I did a tweet which did really well, which was, if you're ever looking for unsolicited advice, tell people you have back pain.
Yeah. 100%.
Everyone's got a fucking opinion about back pain.
Yeah.
And so the most annoying opinion about back pain is people will tell you they read this book that back pain is just in your mind.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a cue to everybody listening. Don't even think about messaging us.
Oh, you can be sure that there's going to be reviews and everyone's going to be like, that book about back pain being in your mind is the best book I ever wrote. See, the thing is that Howard Stern talked about it.
Right.
And said that he read the book and his back pain has been cured. So now everyone thinks that back pain is in your mind.
Yeah.
So get over it, Steve.
Oh man, it was an embarrassing. It was feeling a bit tight playing football at lunchtime yesterday, and then like I was turning like an old man. I could feel it going as I was turning to try and pass. I was like, it's like, oh Jesus, and it's just been tight ever since. So
yeah,
but hey,
well, you know, the good
I've been
news
under a lot of stress, Des. That's what it is.
It's stress. It's psychological, Steve. Your pain is manifesting itself in your back.
100%. Yeah.
You know?
But hey,
so I'm sorry that you're down. If it makes you feel any better, there was an explosion in my lobby last night. So
I saw that, man. Yeah. So this is in Manhattan.
I won't get too into it, but just very quickly, I did a gig at the Comedy Cellar last night, and I was coming back in an Uber, and I was actually on the phone with Hannah. She was upstairs here in the apartment, and like I was 3 minutes away, and she was like, "Wow, that was just a loud explosion. That was like an explosion or a bang or something." And, you know, you always think like, oh, yeah, probably a firework or a car backfire,
yeah.
You know. And then I'm still on the phone with her. I walk into the side door of the lobby, so not by like where the doorman is. And it's literally like can't see a thing full of smoke. I was like,
no,
holy
shit.
So then I kind of looked around the corner. It was like pretty bad. Then I walked out because it was like choking. And then I was like, wait a minute. I need to fucking make sure that there's nobody like... There's nobody hurting.
Yes.
So I went back in and I shouted down the back hallway. The kind of back hallway is like almost like the basement kind of a vibe. I was like, is everybody okay? Nobody responded. Then I walked around towards the main lobby. But it was like literally you couldn't see a thing.
Jeez.
I walked around towards the main lobby and I shouted down, but nobody was responding. So I was like, all right, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Mm.
And it was so choking, like this acrid smoke.
Yeah.
I regretted going back in actually because... It was like, it was with me all night, you know, that kind of like ugh, feeling in my chest. But anyway, I went around to the front and people were starting to pour out, but nobody was hurt, thank God. But I am happy that I'm happy I went back in. I proved that I'm the guy that goes back in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so under psychological pressure there, you did go back in, yeah. And you said, is anyone okay? And
no,
if they were dead,
had somebody said, no, I'm dying. I don't know what I would have done.
I'm dying. I'm trying to... Okay, I'll call someone. What? So did you know what it was?
Oh, yeah. So it was a transformer. Basically, like one of the electrical panels just blew
up.
Okay. I don't know why, but I know that it was a big enough explosion that the elevator was damaged in the middle building. We have like three buildings in the one building, so to speak. Three towers in the one building. So in the middle building, not my one. The elevator was damaged. Some doors were damaged. And there was actually windows blown out in the main lobby.
My God. That's serious.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess the doorman was sitting out there, but somehow he was okay. I talked to this kid who was actually like outside my elevator when the explosion happened. And he just got a major fright, but like he wasn't hurt in any way. But I mean, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus.
And I mean, if I had a certain personality, I'd be like... If it was 3 minutes later, I would have been walking in.
Yeah,
but I didn't think that at all, actually.
Yeah.
The only thing I did think was like, shit, I walked in at that weird time where the fire engines hadn't come yet. And it was just like nobody knew what the fuck was going on. Like, it was weird because it's just like you're just in this gray smoke, you know, like disorientating smoke. And it's like, wow, this is really a fucking fire.
Fucking hard to know what to do as well. Yeah.
It's really hard to know what to do because you don't want to be the dumbass that went back in and like, you know, then you got to get saved. But at the same time, like, there didn't seem to be like fire, just like acrid smoke.
Yeah.
And I knew that there had been an explosion. That's the thing. Because, you know, Hannah had said it on the phone. Anyway, whatever.
Was she panicking upstairs? Was she, like, scared?
She was fine. And as it turned out, like, they didn't evacuate the building. Like, the alarms didn't go off. The people in the middle building went out. So everybody in the middle buildings, their lights started flickering, then bang. Whatever triggered this electrical panel to explode. I'm sure there'll be...
Someone plugged in one too many hair dryers, and that was it.
Yeah, the air conditioners, I guess. I really don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, nobody was hurt, it seems. Thank God. So.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
But I always think about the savior scenario, the hero scenario. Do you run those scenarios in your head?
Coming out of a burning building. Yeah, yeah.
Or what about like when a plane is taking off? Like I often ponder what I would do in the unlikely event of a emergency.
Yeah, because like obviously we were talking about it. I was kind of in a situation last week with somebody that had to call the ambulance, and man, did I just feel fucking helpless for the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
But there's a bit of that. I wouldn't even say I was frozen or anything. It was just like, what, like I have to wait for the ambulance, that's it. And
I know.
And other people, like the neighbors who saw me, were like, geez, you were really cool, weren't you? And it was like, there's a weird scenario when, like, I think it's because of my daughter that you kind of, you're constantly in contact with her to keep her.
So you're trying to stay calm for her.
Yeah, or it's not even that you are staying calm, but it's not because you're trying to stay calm. You're looking after her. So that by virtue of the fact of what this situation is going through, like you're kind of just going, you're talking her through everything. So therefore, you're naturally calm because you wouldn't be screaming and shouting at your daughter.
You're a
anyway.
Hero, bro. You're made for an emergency.
But you have to, because I had one of the neighbors outside, like keeping an eye out for an ambulance and all that kind of shit. And then the ambulance men came in, and the worst is like seeing their faces kind of, I don't know what the fuck's going on here. it's not what you they don't say anything, but just you could see it on their faces. It's not what you want to see. But I suppose in any situation, or if there's a big fight breaks out in the street or something like that, I tend to be calm, but sometimes you kind of, you feel a bit stupid, you feel a bit helpless, do you know what I mean?
I know, when there's fights on the street, I always feel helpless because it's like, this is not my fight, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been in a situation where I saw somebody beating like a helpless person.
Yeah.
You know?
I've seen a domestic where a male hitting a female out in the street, and I was like, I got to get up there. And the person I was living with at the time was like, oh, you can't get involved. I'm like, but like, what, you know, what the fuck am I supposed to do? So called the police, and they're like, is he gone now? Well, if she calls in, then we can do something about it.
Crazy. But I think you did the right thing. You're supposed to call the police, right? Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, and they were just like, well, if she doesn't call us, then there's not much we can do about it. It's like, fucking
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and he had just left, but I was kind of keeping an eye on what he looked like and all that kind of shit, and it's just...
That's a real dilemma right there.
Oh, bro. And then the thing is, you could go and get involved, and then she could turn on you, you know?
Well, you just don't know. This is the thing. And actually, like, in the spur of the moment, like, you know, I almost feel like, because, you know, you get a lot of talk about domestic abuse, and, you know, and it, obviously it's a super important conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I'm sure I've heard it, but I don't know what the advice is for when you are witnessing it.
Yes. You know?
Which is, I think that's a good, that's worth a Google, Steve. This is a very...
Yeah, it's difficult,
this is
man.
An important point that has come up. You know, even though we're going to have a lighthearted episode about where to holiday in Ireland, this has now come up.
Started off,
No, because I think this is like...
I think, for example, in hindsight of certain situations, people, and certainly in the media, can be very quick to judge what somebody should or should not have done. But man, it's a different fucking ball game when you're in that situation. Completely different.
Yes. If you witness domestic, this is just from a domestic abuse site that came up. If you witness domestic violence in public, it's important to take account your own safety as well as the survivors. There is safety in numbers, so gathering a group of people to stand nearby, either verbally or physically intervene, is one option. Contacting the authorities is another option, which you did. You might even record the incident with your phone to pass it on to law enforcement. If the survivor chooses to press charges, keep in mind, however, that some survivors choose not to take legal action. If you're hearing suspicious noises from your neighbors, one option is to speak with the survivor in person the next day. Ask them if they're okay, you know, lighthearted. Never blame them or ask what they did to... anyway, that was just a quick bit of... But I think you did the right thing. You called the authorities. That's one of the options.
Yeah. And it happened so quick by the time. Also, like in such a situation, you can't be leaving people on their own that you shouldn't be leaving on their own if there's a volatile situation as well.
That's a serious dilemma.
Yeah.
I wanted to have some lighthearted fantasies about what you would do. I didn't want to get into the... This is very real, Steve.
Yeah, no. I did have... I can't remember if I talked... No, I didn't talk about it here before. But I did have a situation where there was obviously a kid. So it was in the local shops up here. Kid, I'd say 6 or 7. And both parents were obviously like... Again, you don't want to be judging them. But they were certainly... users of some description, whether it be alcohol or drugs as well. But the young fella had obviously been naughty because I think he was getting taken out from school. You could see that he was supposed to be in school and they were going mad at him. But they were hitting him, like, and she grabbed his cheek and shoved his head into the wall at one stage.
Wow.
He was pretty full on. And I said, hey, I said, that's not right, you know. And of course, they're, fuck off, you know, blah, and they're walking the other way. And I was like, I just kept it calm. That's not right. You know it's not right. You shouldn't be doing that. And the father comes head to head with me then. This was at the beginning of the pandemic as well, which of course I'm going, 2 meters, fucking, please. 2 meters. But, and to be fair to him, like, he did the whole squaring up thing, but I just stood there and was like, it's not, you can't do that. You know you can't do that. And of course, then the young fella turns on me from this is like, go fuck yourself, mister. I was like, I give up.
Oh, man. There you go, Steve. That's a perfect example. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? I'll tell you what's good about this conversation, which we didn't plan to have. I hope that all our listeners, and including me, are going to go and really get a handle on what you should do if you witness domestic abuse. Because I bet you a lot of people... don't know what you're supposed to do, what's the safe thing and the most effective thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, because I think a lot of people are probably aware of how complicated it gets even when you call the authorities.
Yeah.
And that there's a lot of frustration with their lack of ability to intervene. Mm. So, you know, it was accidentally we landed upon this.
Yeah, 100%.
I think it's good because I certainly am now made aware that I don't know what you're supposed to do.
Mm.
And I think that's an important thing to know.
And it's definitely an issue. I was talking to, terrible now, I can't remember the name of the organization, but a neighbor here is like CEO of a charity that looks after domestic abuse victims. And it's seriously on the rise since lockdown.
Pandemic,
you know?
Yeah. Pandemic. That was a big story at the beginning of the pandemic. Yeah.
So it's really difficult for people. But yeah, it's hard to know what to do. And you can be guaranteed that sometimes your natural reaction is fight or flight, you know. So maybe even as a man, sometimes you might feel like, I'm bigger than him, I'm going to have to physically get involved or whatever. But I can guarantee that if somebody is to break down the advice properly, or if there is a strategy of how to do it, it'll be, you know, de-escalate, do everything you can to de-escalate.
Maybe I'll try to find somebody to come on and give us a nice clear, because now it's come up, so it's out there now.
100%, yeah.
Oh, cool. Well done, Steve.
Yeah, there you go.
So sure. We said that today, because I was doing the Patreon, and I actually asked the Patreon subscribers for some topics for today, and we also accidentally happened upon talking about the best places to go in Ireland, because one of the American regulars on the Patreon was asking, when's the best time to go to Ireland?
Ah.
And we had the great debate started, and then we got into these great places to go. And then I was like, wow, all Irish people are getting ready to go on like staycations. So I thought, let's go and talk about great places, reminisce about great Irish holiday destinations, beautiful spots, happy memories.
So good.
To perhaps inspire people to make a decision on where they're going to go this summer.
Absolutely.
First, and what's your opinion on the... I won't tell you what the consensus was on the Patreon for the best time to visit Ireland, but what would you say it is?
I think this is possibly maybe my childhood self talking here, but I would say September is not a bad time.
September was unanimous. September was unanimous. Irish because people are of the opinion
that you go back
that
to school and it's fucking roasting.
Yeah, it's the most reliable weather month, according to... I have not looked at the science, but according to everybody, there seems to be this... Now, I don't know if it's actually true. I actually kind of feel like people think it's September because it's so disappointing when the weather is bad in the summer. Whereas, yes, like, when you get a nice day in September, it feels like a gift.
100%.
So yeah. I would like to know if this is a fact or actually if it's like a psychological thing where you tend to be more positive about good weather in September and less negative about bad weather, or if it's actually scientifically true that September is the driest month.
I definitely just remember, like, 90s in Cork, brand new crisp shirts on the new uniform. I'm just sweating through them
sweating
all the time.
On the way to yeah. school. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just that. That was so, yeah, I would say, yeah, possibly September. But man, can we just say as well, like, if when we do get a good summer, it's amazing here.
No, there's no better place in the world. Absolute fact. A nice day in Ireland is the nicest place in the world. You cannot beat it.
It'd be a better, like, Ireland's a great country if they could put a roof on it. That's what my mother says, you know?
Yeah, if you could, like, on those hot days, you know, like, I remember one day I was driving to West Clare, you know, I was driving from sort of Lahinch on the coast road all the way around by, you know, through Doolin, Ballyvaughan, and then back around towards Kinvara.
Nice.
And it was a gorgeous day. I think I had a show in Galway that night. I feel like I had like a Sunday night gig in Galway, and we decided to do the coast road of Clare. I had somebody with me, some American, and we're driving through Ballyvaughan, and the sun was splitting the stones, as they like to say. And outside one of those pubs in Ballyvaughan, everyone was hanging outside, and we stopped the car and we just hung out there for half an hour. And like, is there anything better than like just a sunny day in a coastal town in the summer in Ireland where everyone's like, you know, having a pint, having the crack. Yes. Like, I don't drink, but there's still just something special about that outside, you know, 5-6 o'clock evening sun.
Yes.
Fucking midges.
So that's when people start doing a fire here and there to get rid of the midges, and you sit around the fire, a few songs. Ah,
oh, yeah,
amazing.
And it's just something about the way, you know, Irish people are all like sunburnt and just look better, you know? Yeah, sunglasses on their head, fucking 2006, living large, fucking just bought their third gaff.
Sandals and woolly socks.
Yeah, man. I love that. I love the Irish coastal town on a nice day. The problem is that it's so fucking rare.
Yeah, that is the problem.
I think it's hard. You can't rely on it.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say that, like, would we say the West Coast in general is the best? Because from Donegal down to Kerry, summertime is just
undisputed.
Like,
can't dispute it. Oh, no, down to Kerry, down to West Cork, bro.
West Cork, sorry, yes, yeah.
Whoa.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. Of course, yeah, yeah. But I don't know, like, when we used to go camping when we were kids, and we went to campsites in Kerry near Derrynan. Derrynan Beach and all that.
Oh, dude, one of my best camping holidays was to Derrynan.
Oh my God, it's amazing. And the campsites, I mean, I assume they're still there because we haven't done it since the 90s, but it was amazing because also the people that you meet on campsites, you rarely actually meet Irish people. So you're meeting people from all over the world that are camping, like loads of Germans who get up at 5 a.m. to go fishing. And I mean, that was the first time I saw breasts like out in the open, because that's how they sunbathe, you know what I mean? It's like,
really?
No Irish people were doing that. Yeah,
well, fucking Derrynan?
Yeah, it was actually... I was remembering this.
Fucking ghost of Daniel O'Connell wouldn't be too happy about that.
Well, my dad, we had a canoe, for two people. And my brother and I, we were already small, but my dad would let us go from beach to beach in Derrynan. Sometimes you can't get around to a beach. You can only get there by boat
at
the tide was
right
in. High tide, exactly. So we go across to one beach, and I'll never forget this. This is awful. But all of a sudden, the moment took me where I really needed to take a shit. It was awful. And we're just stranded on this beach that there was no around. I had to go hide in some reeds and take a shit.
Yeah, my favorite thing to do.
Wipe myself with the reeds. I remember that being so rough. And then coming out, and my brother was standing there, like giving the eyes, going, Steve, look. And there's just a woman there with her boobs out. We'd never seen it before, sunbathing. So there you go. I'm Derrynane Beach. But
wow, you had a spiritual experience in Derrynane
canoes.
My memory, so actually, would you believe the summer of 1996, which was the first summer I ever stayed in Ireland.
I think, was it 95 or 96 that it was like crazy hot?
95,
right, yeah.
That was the summer that I stopped drinking.
Right.
And 95, like that's how bad the weather is in Ireland, that like there's like, you know, like in America, it's like, do you remember Hurricane Andrew? It destroyed Florida. Whereas in yeah. Ireland, they're like, do you remember the summer in 95, the fucking heat wave in 95? Because I remember. I was going out with somebody at the time, but I came back to the States. I was trying to stop drinking. And she was just, you know, we wouldn't talk that much. It was before cell phones, but I would talk to her, you know, on the phone sometimes. And she was just like, oh my God, the weather is amazing. Oh my God. And there wasn't a fucking good summer after that. And that's when I started staying in Ireland for the summer.
Yeah. You're like, fine, fuck it. I'll stay for a summer. Never again.
Yeah. And that, anyway, it doesn't matter. But so the summer of 96, the June bank holiday weekend, myself and my buddies, my like sober buddies, went to Kerry for the weekend. And that was the first time I went to Derrynane. And I actually was like, my overriding thought of going to Derrynane Strand was that it was like the fucking Bahamas, because the weather was amazing. Yeah. We were camping out and it was so beautiful. And that was the first time I realized, like, holy shit, the Irish beaches are the nicest beaches on the planet.
They are amazing. They're amazing. I don't think
the night before we stayed in Glen Bay, you know, Ross Bay Strand.
Yes.
Or is it Glen Bay Strand, Ross Bay the town? Anyway, we camped out there, but the sun sets on that beach. It was the most amazing thing. And we were, all my buddies were in early recovery. We're all like searching for ourselves spiritually.
Yeah.
And the sun was setting and we decided to meditate in the setting sun.
Wow.
I was 20 years old and we're meditating in the setting sun. And I'm such a fucking exhibitionist. And for some reason, somebody had like brought me to like a Taizé prayer fucking service.
Taizé prayer? What's that?
So, Taizé prayer is like repetitive praying, but it's like, so you know,
like
Jesus,
mantra.
Remember me
when
you come. So that's like a Taizé song. You just keep singing it over and over.
Okay.
I started singing it. I started singing it, right? And they never said anything. And literally, like 5 years later, we're all sitting around and we're like, obviously, we've moved on from our fucking like youthful spiritual exploration. And somehow we started talking about that day. And one of them was like, I wanted to punch you in the fucking head. I was having a perfect experience and you started singing fucking Jesus songs. I was like, I'm sorry for ruining your spiritual experience. I was accentuating mine.
trying to be calm, meditating, breathe in, breathe out. I'm going to fucking kill this guy.
But it was great. And then, you know, because there was no shower. We weren't at like a proper campsite. So like, I remember giving myself like a fresh water shower with like a bottle of Ballygowan and just feeling like we were fucking Bear Grylls.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And then we went to the fucking disco, try to pick up some.
And a pull.
but anyway, yeah. So that's one of the Derrynane would be one of the nicest beaches in Ireland.
100%. And also, I remember being in. We weren't camping. I think we just stayed. We were staying in a friend's house in Coleraine for a bit, and then we went across to Donegal for a couple of days. And the beaches up there were like in Malinhead.
Malinhead, man.
Jesus,
beautiful. Port
amazing.
Salad.
Yeah.
Port Salon, beautiful. What's the Fanad? Fanad really surprised me.
I don't
hear a lot of people talk about Fanad.
Yeah.
But I feel like that part of, I feel like some of the Inishowen Peninsula is kind of a little bit ignored.
I think people who know about Donegal are like, yeah, it's fucking amazing. But I don't think it's like mainstream thinking here. I don't know, is it because it's harder to get to or what? But it's just like the beaches there are
absolutely stunning. Well, I feel like Dunfanaghy is popular and then the Gaeltacht is popular.
Bundoran,
obviously. Bloody Forelands and Hornhead. But I feel like Fanad gets a little ignored.
Right.
But then I think a lot of the Northerners go for like Port Salut and stuff like that, you know?
That's maybe what it is, the disconnect with that, yeah.
But absolutely gorgeous, like untouchable, unspeakable beauty. But Donegal, tough drive, I have to say. But because I've done all those shows in Letterkenny, that's how I was really able to explore Donegal. And then I got into surfing, I slept in my car in Ross Nowla, thinking that like I was some sort of fucking proper surfer, sleeping in my car. But I woke up in the morning, there was like no waves. There was no reason to fucking sleep in my car there. It wasn't like, you know, it was before I knew, like, it wasn't like that next day was going to be like an epic day. I thought it was just like the waves would just turn on for me when I fucking woke up, you know? Absolute fucking waste.
Yeah, we drove to Letterkenny and you drive through the north for one of your shows. And we drove through Tyrone, wasn't it? And you were telling me, how do you not know your Drumlin, Steve? They're Drumlins.
Oh, that's Monaghan, bro.
Monaghan's, exactly.
That's because you didn't finish fucking school, yeah? You skipped over Patrick Kavanagh completely and jumped right onto fucking Nietzsche.
You
forgot your own. You didn't fucking delve into Patrick Kavanagh's depression.
Oh, by the way.
It's very funny, actually. I just had a thought. Thinking about, you know, the Irish education and how we studied Patrick Kavanagh, Inishkeen Road, July evening, and all the discussions we had about Patrick Kavanagh and his alcoholism, I feel like nowadays the discussion would be completely different. We'd be having a discussion about Patrick Kavanagh's mental health.
Yeah.
The conversation has completely changed. We'd be sitting there, half the conversations with these poets are fucking Gerard Manley Hopkins, bipolar.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they're all, yeah. Sylvia Plath.
Is this too much?
Like, no.
No, but Sylvia, I'm just saying, like, so Wordsworth, fucking, you know, a lot of issues.
Yeah,
deep, deep depression.
Yeah.
You know?
And never talked about at the time at all. In school.
W.B. Yeats, narcissistic personality disorder. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm just saying, like, that there's, I feel like with Kavanagh, I was obsessed with Kavanagh. You know, I read The Green Fool and I read Terry Flynn. And like, I felt like I could identify with Patrick Kavanagh, you know?
Yeah.
And his poetry was so, it was fucking depressing, but he was also like isolated. And, you know, I feel like it was like a little bit of bullying. Like the country people just didn't get him, you know? He was too up his own hole for fucking Monaghan. Whereas he came to Dublin and he was just like, he was the right amount of up his own hole for fucking Dublin, you know?
Yeah.
And I loved him. But now I feel like I need to revisit him because I need to fucking read his stuff with the thought that he was probably depressed.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's a complete new perspective on it. Well, that means
self-medicating.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we looked at, like, when we were reading Nietzsche stuff as well, was like, you know, and he had serious mental health issues, do you know what I mean? As well, it's like, you read it in these contexts.
Can we also just point out that millennials love to fucking speak on speakerphone?
Is she on speakerphone? I can hear her now, yeah.
Like, all the time. I don't get it. You know? Yeah. But anyway, we won't get into it, but that's just like a thing. And what about the phenomenon? Is this phenomenon happening in Ireland where instead of people listening to their headphones like when they're jogging or cycling, they have a fucking Bluetooth speaker playing the music out loud? Is this happening?
On bikes especially, for some reason, people cycle by with a... like, we don't fucking...
This is happening more and more now. The fucking Bluetooth speaker has brought back the fucking boombox from the 80s. People are walking around. You know,
I noticed some young ones on the bus on the top decker of the 39. I was just like, oh, shut up, will you?
Yeah, it's front, like now it's like a thing. It's like completely acceptable.
Yeah.
I can't have two different noises going on at the same time.
Yeah.
I feel like the Gen Z, there's been an evolution of humanity, and the Gen Z has the ability to filter out other noise and just listen to their own noise.
Yeah.
Whereas me, it's fucking chaos. I can't fucking concentrate if there's like two noises going on at the same time.
No, 100%. It's definitely there's a self-centered narcissism to that generation that they're like,
fucking huge judgment. You've just thrown out a huge judgment. They've evolved, Steve.
I watched Bo Burnham special evolved. Too much.
They've evolved, man.
Yeah. That's the shit I loved about Bo Burnham special. I know we both watched it, but like, man, he takes the piss out of ourselves so well. It's so good.
He takes the piss out of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, did I ever tell you the story about the time I got sunburned in Yall?
Yall? No way. No.
I don't know why.
Yokel.
But in the summer of 1996, and this was May, I feel, because I know that it was before that trip to Derry Nan, because I remember being so fucking paranoid about getting burnt on that trip to Derry Nan. And it was because a few weeks previously, probably like May time, when the weather was, you know, that early, you know, there's always like an early heat wave in Ireland. The fucking weather was amazing. So myself and another sober buddy jumped on the bus to Yall. Right. And this is before I would have known that, like, I would have had better beach options. I just went for Yall. And this is not a, it's not a slight on Yall, but it just like, it's not the nicest beach, but it was very accessible. And so I got a bus to Yall, and like, I literally thought that it would be impossible to get sunburnt in Ireland. I didn't actually know that it would be possible. And the sun was splitting the stones, and of course the water was freezing, and we spent the whole day on a beach. Like the entire day, no sunblock. And I had the worst sunburn of my life. Literally, like, people talk about the Irish weather. The worst sunburn I've ever had is in Ireland, because as you know, even when it's super hot in Ireland, more often than not, there's a bit of a cool breeze. Yes. And the fucking cool breeze, Irish people love to point it out. Oh, the cool breeze now, it's the most dangerous day. And nobody had fucking given me the warning in 96. You know?
Yeah.
The fucking wind is howling, and the fucking sun is splitting the stones, and I'm walking around with no shirt on, you know? And fuck, I was so badly sunburned, and I got what I now know, which I only learned recently, I got the devil's itch.
Oh, God.
Have you ever heard of the devil's itch?
No, what's that?
Well, I didn't know it was called the devil's itch until very recently I Googled it, because I remembered I got the devil's itch three times in my life. But the time I got it in Ireland, man, I was out of my fucking mind. And the funny thing was that I was so early in recovery, you know, in NA, like staying clean, that in my mind, taking an antihistamine, which would have helped, by the way.
Yeah.
Taking an antihistamine would have been like using, because it makes you drowsy. Off.
Right.
So yeah. I didn't take the fucking antihistamine. Dude, I was going out of my mind. Like, so literally, it was the, like, I you feel like you could actually, like, murder. It's so, your whole body is just like pins coming in the inside of your skin for 24 hours. Jesus.
And that's because of sunburn.
The sunburn, for me, sunburn instigated it. I think there's other things that can instigate it. But I got the devil's itch three times in my life. And as a result, I've been extremely paranoid about getting sunburned for the rest of my life. But like on that trip when I was singing fucking Jesus Remember Me, I was driving them nuts too, because I was like, we have to put on sunblock. But the hilarious thing is that I was still so obsessed with getting a color that I was putting on six. Like, I wouldn't fucking go out in the sun now without 30 on.
Yeah.
Back
yeah.
then, I thought I was being super cautious. I was putting on number six because I didn't want to get burnt, but I still wanted to get a color.
We hadn't a clue back in the day, though. The amount
fucking
of like,
hadn't a
I remember
clue, man.
Irish people growing up, like, it'll be brown tomorrow. That's what they always say.
Yeah, it'll be brown tomorrow. Yeah.
Fucking sure. My family are from the Spanish Armada. That was the other one.
Yeah,
be brown tomorrow.
That was the worst. That was the worst sunburn I ever had in my life.
Oh,
you know,
God.
And I tell people, you know, like, you can get sunburnt in Ireland. They don't believe me. And fucking
you couldn't even get aloe vera in those days, would you? After
you
sunburn.
Could get aloe vera, yeah.
Could you? Oh, yeah.
I feel like you could. I definitely did get after sun. After everybody was obsessed with after sun in Ireland. You come back from fucking, like, it was always like you're going on holiday. Somebody was going to Spain. It was like you had to bring your fucking sunblock, and you had to bring your factor, as the Irish people say. You
yeah,
had to bring
yeah.
your factor, and then you had to bring your after sun. You know, but the Irish need for after sun was part of the problem, because you shouldn't be fucking getting so burnt that you need that after sun.
Yeah,
but my it was daughter went the down- main focus. The main focus of a holiday was to get a color.
Oh yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And even the sun hat. Was that a thing when you were growing up, a sun hat?
Nah. And in Australia, your kids can't go to fucking play outside in school if they don't have a hat on.
That's
if you,
true,
if
actually.
If your kid shows up with no hat, they don't let you outside.
And I think on certain beaches, they're not allowed unless they're wearing, like, basically, they're not proper wetsuits, but basically...
Yeah, like sun clothes for the kids. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is healthy.
Yeah, no, it is.
But of course, we were the opposite.
Yeah.
I was putting on fucking Hawaiian Tropic tanning oil. Literally putting on tanning oil.
What
putting
was
on fucking baby oil.
Crisp and dry. Was that the stuff for the chips?
Oh my God, dude. It was so unhealthy when I think about it now.
But
you know what Ireland taught me? Do you know what Ireland taught me? And I have to say I'm very grateful for it, because it's coming particularly handy during the pandemic. Ireland taught me the benefit of a sun trap. You know, it was never as big of an issue in New York, because it's hot.
Yeah.
Kind of pretty reliably hot, give or take a few bad seasons, from mid-May to October.
Yeah.
So I never really needed a sun trap. But in Ireland, the sun trap is essential. Finding the fucking way the wind is blowing, the angle of the sun, and finding that perfect spot where even if it's only 12 degrees, you get in that fucking sun trap, and hallelujah, it's a summer's day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Fota Island is a sun trap, isn't it? They say that's what it gets, for tropical weather there.
Oh, is that right?
Sun trap. Yeah.
Something to do with its situation within the bay and the North Atlantic drift.
Yeah, probably.
That's why there's palm trees there.
That's why the animals love it there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So this during the pandemic, even in the harsh New York winter, I was very good at finding a spot where I could sit outside and almost feel like a normal human being.
Oh, nice.
And I owe that to the Irish. Hannah doesn't appreciate a sun trap, you know? Fucking Irish people like, yeah, you know, like on a windy day, you find a non-windy spot and it's full of fucking flies or mosquitoes or midges. You'll also find fucking Irish people looking to fucking catch a bit of sun. Yeah. It's like, where is everybody? And then you'll find this one fucking spot where like the wind is blocked and there's like 20 fucking people. Like, it's fucking lovely out.
It's fucking lovely. The worst is building sites, man. Working on building sites. Doesn't matter what time of year it is. As soon as the sun comes out, all the tops are off.
Oh, tops off. I did that. Oh, Same summer of 96, man. Fucking living in Cork. I worked a few shifts on the fucking building site, and the sun came out, fucking splitting the stones. And I remember at lunch break going to fucking early Centra. It was kind of like the early days of fucking Centra. And the boss man on a Friday would buy everybody lunch, you know?
Oh, nice.
It was the beginning of the boom, 96. You know, like, we didn't even know it was a boom yet, but like, they were all busy. He was making money. And I remember sitting out there eating a fucking, you know, breakfast roll or whatever the fuck I chose for my lunch. And outside, they were smoking. The fucking sun was splitting the stone. And I was like, this is fucking great, man. You know, I should have picked that life. A lot less fucking stress.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd 100%. Have a bad back now, but I'd probably be retired in Portugal with all my fucking money.
Yeah, yeah. Loads of money, a few houses, renting them out. No bother. Oh, yeah.
My favorite place in the world, in West Cork. So people always say, what's your favorite place on the planet? And I think I've mentioned it on the pod before, but I don't know if I talked about it with you, is the Dzogchen Bera, the Buddhist Meditation Center.
Oh, right.
Between Castletown Bera and Alahis. The address is Alahis, but it's actually on the road. It's a left turn off the road from driving from Castletown Bera to Alahis.
Right. Wow. And that's very West Cork, isn't it?
Oh, man. If I could give one recommendation of somewhere that you have to go in Ireland, and of course you have to be respectful there, but The Dzogchen Bera, Dzogchen Bera, as in the Bera Peninsula, Bera, is one of the most unique and special places on the planet. And it is an official Tibetan Buddhist monastery. It's not just like, it's not just a nothing thing. You know, it has a Buddhist, you know, like a Lama patron in Sogyal Rinpoche. And even though I think he's had a few accusations against him, but I don't want to soil this special place, which is on a hilltop, a cliff, looking out over the fucking pure power of the Atlantic. This is not like in a fucking quiet bay. This fucking headland has the real power of the ocean pumping at you, and they have a meditation room which is open to the public at certain times, but they have a meditation room that will blow your mind. I mean, it is one of the most inspiring, relaxing places you will ever sit in your life. And they have guided meditations that are open to the public at different times. You can check the schedule on their website. So you don't have to go and like get too involved. But if you're looking for an introduction to mindfulness meditation, but also the Tonglen meditation, which is a compassion meditation, a loving kindness meditation, you can take part in these. And I think you're encouraged to leave a donation, I think, but it's one of the most amazing places.
That sounds amazing. What a recommendation.
I used to go there a lot in the 90s, but I've visited since. In the interim, they actually built a hospice. They also have a hospice center because, you know, the Buddhists are very open about death, and they have a very sort of positive attitude about death and also guiding people towards death. So they also have a hospice with. I visited there with my mother after my father died. That is also amazing. And they have the meditations in that room sometimes also, which is also amazing. Not as amazing as the meditation room, but I did do a loving kindness meditation in that hospice center, and the whole area is worth a visit. Even to just go to the cafe, they have a cafe which is open to the public, and of course that helps them out financially. But it is, without doubt, one of the greatest places on the planet. I would go so far as to say it's in my top five places on Earth.
Wow, that's amazing! What a recommendation.
That is my most serious recommendation that I can ever give.
And you're in West Cork, which is like amazing places.
Well, it's not that far from where my grandmother is from. It's also not that far from where I spent a lot of those years of my early 20s trying to find myself. I mean, I did do like retreats there, and I stayed in the hostel. I don't know what the hostel situation is these days. When I was young, I would just go there sometimes, stay there on my own. I remember one time, I did a gig in Killarney, and I had a fling with an English lady after the show, and she came with me, and we fucking stayed in the Jogchenberra for 3 days.
Went meditating.
Meditating
and making love.
Nah. The fling didn't continue. We just went into the spirituality. It was a good crack.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But I don't know if the hostel is still going.
So would Ireland be on the cards for a honeymoon?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm not going to fucking Ireland for my honeymoon. I'm not fucking...
Be a good way to show around, though, like all these recommendations. You'll do that anyway. You don't need the honeymoon, yeah.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm not shitting on Ireland. I fucking love Ireland, but I've been there a million times. Hannah's going to see Ireland 1,000 times. I want to go somewhere special for our honeymoon.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, not special. This is going to be taken all wrong.
For you. Yeah, it's for you.
unique to me.
Like,
like a getaway, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
I don't want to be getting a fucking 99 and fucking Inchidani. Which I'm big up on Inchidani.
Oh, I love Inchidani. Absolutely.
Inchidani Lodge and Spa all day, one of my top hotels. The Hayfield Manor in Cork is my number one recommendation for anybody in Ireland. In my opinion, you know, Ireland's all around best hotel, service, staff, everything is just amazing. The rooms are amazing. Outdoor hot tub, great hotel. But the Inchidani Lodge and Spa, you can't beat that for a little massage getaway. Inchidani Strand is just so amazing. You can surf there, but it's also like, I love a good hard beach. Do you know the way some beaches, the sand is nice, but it's also like packed down hard.
Yes.
So you can puck around. Like you can go to Inchidani and have a good puck around.
Practice your sideline cuts. Yeah, that's
I love one. A good puck around. I love being on a beach, a non-busy beach now. Sometimes the Irish are in fucking Bondi Beach in Australia and they're pucking away and it's like, it's a hazard. You know, or Coogee Beach. They're on Coogee fucking pucking away and fucking Australians are like, what the fuck is going on here, mate? But in Inchidani, you have a good puck around, man. There's nothing like hitting the ball back and forth to each other on a hard sand beach.
Yes.
You know, where the ball can bounce and you can fucking, you know, you can pop it up on the hurl and fucking have
Flick
a laugh.
Up easy. Boom.
Yeah. And you can chase after it when it gets by you and you get a bit of extra. I love a hard packed beach. Now there's not that many great ones, but Inchidani now is a fucking cracker.
Yeah.
You have a good jog on a hard-packed beach. Now, don't get me wrong. I like a soft sand run, but a long, hard-packed beach, man, that's a special thing. Hannah makes fun of me because anytime it's like low tide in West Hampton, you get a little bit of that. We don't have that often, but every now and then you get a day where the tide is really low and you get a section of beach where it's like hard-packed and you're running, and I'm like, this is fucking heaven right now. A fucking sun trap and a hard-packed beach now, that's what will be on my fucking gravestone. He loved a fucking sun trap and a hard pack beach.
Des Bishop lies here.
And I love it, man.
Oh, so good, cool, man.
Other hotel recommendations for Ireland, I think. You know, I always love a trip to the Monarch Spa, I have to say.
Where's that?
For a one-day getaway near Enniscorthy in County Wexford.
Oh, aye.
Great spa getaway. I wrote the proposal for the book about my dad there.
Oh, right.
Special place, man.
Nice.
Special place. I'm trying to think of some other. I always love the Ahado Heights Hotel in Killarney. Fucking nice. Cracker. I've never stayed in the European, though. Everybody tells me the European is the most amazing. Or Hotel Europa. So what is it? No. What, the one that's near Killarney, but it's like out on the Ring of Kerry. Well, apparently that's amazing. Hotel Europe, maybe. But I've never stayed there.
I went for a spa weekend with an old girlfriend a long time ago in like the Radisson and Cavan. That was fucking amazing.
Oh, I've never stayed there.
Oh.
I've seen that, but I've never stayed there.
Unbelievable. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Highly recommend it. Yeah, yeah. They really looked after you. But they've got huge... It's on like this big manor, so the grounds around are stunning as well. And you just go for a big walk around there as well.
I haven't stayed in Adair since they did it up. It's way fancier now, but I used to love fucking staying in Adair Manor.
Yeah, that's kind
Which
of like
wasn't
legendary.
Wasn't as expensive as it looked.
Yeah, yeah. That's supposed to be legendary. I know, I've never been there. My cousin used to work there. Yeah. Now he manages a hotel in the Cayman Islands.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He did.
I feel like I should have more quick recommendations for hotels, but I'm kind of blanking out on the hotel front. I mean, I've stayed in so many good ones, but for some reason, like the Park Hotel in Khmer is amazing. Stayed there.
Also, you can't knock a good B&B for people as well. You never know what you're going to end up with. A B&B somewhere around the country.
You know, one time in Lahinch, I stayed in a place called Vaughan Lodge. That was fucking great. That was like more like a B&B. It was like somewhere between. It was like a boutique hotel, but that was great.
Yeah,
Lahinch is great because Lahinch is like a mix of just like a proper public beach, but also like an awesome town.
Oh, yeah.
Got a lot of great memories. You know, my parents had this short period of time where they thought about retiring in Ireland. And we were looking at gaffs in Kinvara and in Lahinch.
Right.
It didn't happen, but yeah, I wanted them to live in Kinvara because I wanted them to be near Galway.
Yeah, that would have been so cool.
Yeah, Kinvara's lovely, you know. Kinvara's kind of I feel like Kinvara is underappreciated in my opinion.
And why didn't they go in the end?
That was never going to happen.
Never
going to
happen. Yeah,
that was like my dad's like pipe dream. My mother wasn't gonna live in Ireland.
Yeah,
fuck no, that, even though man. She hates the sun, or she hated the sun,
didn't like the heat. My mother's the same as well. Like, she's from Buenos Aires and she fucking hates the heat. It's mad,
really.
Yeah, like I think of 40 degrees in Buenos Aires, like crazy human. She can't stand the sun.
I could bore our listeners to tears about all the fucking like amazing spots. You know, I tell you, I had a great trip staying in that hotel in Dingle. The hotel itself is not that fancy, but they have an amazing outside hot tub. What is it? The Dingle Skellig Hotel.
Jeez,
outdoor hot tub looking out over fucking the bay.
Des, you have all hotel recommendations. I just have campsites.
Yeah, you can fucking tell us about the campsites and fucking B&Bs.
Yeah.
But the Dingle Skellig was great. I can't remember what the context was. The first time I ever went to Dingle, I had finished the work experience. I filmed the first episode of the work experience in Waterford, but that was a pilot. So we were waiting to find out if we got the series.
The Abercrombie.
So that was 2003. That was like around Easter. Easter happened while I was filming in Waterford. That was 2003. So then I think around the May bank holiday weekend, I took a holiday on my own. I guess I had a show near there, but I decided to I stayed in a hostel in Dingle. I can't even remember what hostel it was, but just I stayed in some fucking hostel on my own. I rented a car, and I'd never driven over the Conner Pass. And I fucking drove over the Conner Pass because I had heard that they were surfing in Castle Gregory. And I was mesmerized by the Conner Pass. Like it was one of the most amazing things I'd ever seen.
This the windy roads, is it?
Yeah, yeah. You go through the Conner Pass. Just like incredible beauty. And Dingle was just so cool. Like, just the whole thing was fucking blowing my mind. Cumie Knoll. That whole trip was way better than I expected. Like, I didn't expect Cumie Knoll. Cumie Knoll is also like one of my favorite beaches on the planet. And I don't even have the Peg Sayers connection. Like, I remember being down there in 2003 and kind of like being like, oh, all this Peg shit that I used to hear them talking about. Like, and it's so funny because later on I would be able to speak Irish, but at that time I had no connection to any of this shit. But I knew that out there in the fucking Blashkids, you know, she was this one that everybody hated, you know, in terms of their experience of education. So that trip would blow my mind. Ballyferrett, I remember sitting out there on a sunny day. But anyway, I drove over the counterpass, most beautiful fucking, beautiful drive. And I got to Castle Gregory. And I was actually, you know, they have, Jamie Knox Water Sports. So I was searching out Jamie Knox Water Sports because I wanted to buy a surfboard. I had a wetsuit, but I didn't have a surfboard. I wanted to buy a surfboard off Jamie Knox. And the guy that had the keys wasn't there. It was like, it wasn't really open. But I got chatting to the guy and he was like, oh, come on, my brother or my cousin or somebody is out windsurfing, you know, somewhere where they, you know, somewhere out in the Maharees in Castle Gregory, and they're windsurfing out there. And so the guy goes and fucking calls the guy in. But while I was waiting for this to be sorted out, I got the call to say that the work experience has been picked up as a series. Three more episodes.
No way.
And it's funny because that series changed my life. And I remember standing there in the Maharees in Castle Gregory looking out at the ocean. And I actually remember thinking, this is a life-changing moment.
Wow.
Like, this is huge. And so I always go down there every now and then to remember the hope and the happiness, you know?
Yeah, yeah. What a moment.
And I don't know if Jamie Knox Water Sports is still going, but that's a fucking great spot too, Castle Gregory, you know?
Yeah. 100%.
It's, you know, and it's close to Tralee. It's easy to get to. Like, you don't have to, if you're looking for just like a couple of amazing beaches, you know, because there's like a series of beaches there.
Yeah.
Between the Maharees and all the way around to Brandon Head.
Yeah.
I mean, God, I could, boy, like the other great place to stay is you stay at the Umboher Pub on the fucking Dingle side of Brandon Head, but you do the walk up to the top of Brandon Head, man. Fuck.
I've done that all right, yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, that's actually, like, geez, I wonder what it'd be like in this weather. It must be tough, but what a hike that is to the top of Mount Brandon. What, Annisgall, isn't that the village where Crean was from?
That's where Crean's from, yeah. Go through Annisgall if you don't take the Connor Pass. You take the other road around towards Inch. Yeah, you can go that way.
I remember
but
playing...
there's no crack. There's no crack that way. But sometimes in the winter, you have to go that way. The Connor Pass is closed.
Well, we went because we started a hike from the pub. You go up to Brandon, you come back down, have something to eat, and then later on that night, well, like I played in a session that night, you know, it was grey crack.
Really?
Yeah. It was really cool.
That's another little secret that I don't think a lot of people know. And for some reason, the village has gone out of my head, but I think it's Brandon Village, Brandon Pier. There's a little village, one or two pubs there at Brandon Pier. So... You're driving to the Connor Pass, but you don't take the road for the Connor Pass. You keep going to Brandon Pier. You can't go any further. Like the village is the end of the road. There's no, you can't go over Brandon Head.
Yeah.
And that little area there's a little fishing village. Great fucking pub there. I can't remember the name of it, but great spot for a sneaky, just like great, great evening pint or a bit of clam chowder, a bit of fish, you know, a bit of seafood chowder.
That's right. We did have a seafood chowder, and then my friend was a piper as well. So we came back later that night, and I just sang and played guitar, and he piped away, and it was brilliant. We got jumpers made of lamb's wool and all. So we were proper Tom Crean heads on us, like. But it's amazing down there.
Some great seaside lunches now in Ireland. Bunny Canellan's fucking, you can't beat it. It's gone very fancy nowadays. It used to not be as fancy, but it's still great, incredible views. Yeah, that sort of South Cork coastline, a little underappreciated, in my opinion. I've had some great seafood chowder in Lahinch, Ballyvaughan, Doolin. We're completely ignoring, Dog's Bay, you know, like Connemara, Clifton, Ballykeneely. I mean, there's just so many awesome spots. You know what? There's no point in even picking them out. The last place I'm going to recommend is Lewisburg. I feel sometimes Lewisburg Mayo gets kind of ignored. But the beaches down there are fucking incredible. You got to rent a car this summer. You can't go to fucking Lanzarote. You can't go to Torremolinos. So rent a car if you can. Because I know this stuff is expensive and it's a luxury. Rent a car if you can and take every fucking side road and take a risk. Some of the best places, I wouldn't even be able to tell you where they are today. Just fucking left turns down little boreens with grass in the middle of them. I took a fucking risk and I ended up at these amazing spots where there's nobody. It's probably some farmer's fucking land and just had like little fucking naked swims. Just gorgeous spots. Ireland, you have to...
Oh, that's
if
the
you're
way
not
to
on a road with grass in the middle of it, you haven't had your fucking holiday.
Yeah. A friend of mine has a place down in Ahakista on Sheep's Head, where Graham Norton lives, actually. But that's the same thing. If you just take a turn off somewhere and you'll find some weird spot to go swimming in, and it's like, oh, it's just amazing. No phone signal as well. It's great. You just really feel like you're away from it all. It's amazing.
Yeah, especially in West Cork, you're taking all these little turns. You're always going to find some super cool shit.
Yeah.
You know, little swimming holes and stuff.
Swimming holes. Like growing cannabis.
I've been diving off. Back in the day, like I was diving off rocks in West Cork. I couldn't tell you where they were. These amazing fucking swimming holes. And it was just us. Just fucking me and my mates fucking chilling. You know?
There you go. But geez, they got good recommendations there, Des.
I hope so, man. There's too many. I just get like, you know, I feel like we focus too much on Cork and Kerry, but.
Yeah, but like it's never, because I mean, then there was like, even I remember like the amazing campsites on the Shannon, and then you can rent boats going up and down the Shannon as well. Like the Shannon.
Oh, that's
like,
a great trip. But you know,
Fermanagh as well.
We're going to have to do an inland.
An inland episode. Yeah, yeah.
we're going to record live going down the Shannon.
There you go.
Here we are. But near Clonmacnoise.
Yeah, Clonmacnoise, exactly.
Here we are near Clonmacnoise. It's a floodplain, but many years ago, this was one of the most important settlements in Ireland.
That's right.
I think I'm just going to become a tour guide.
Yeah, or that's your next documentary, Des Bishop Tours Ireland.
Well, that guy on TG Carr used to do the great thing, fucking, he was like canoeing around Ireland. What do you call the Irish things?
Oh, the Curragh? No.
Yeah, in the Curragh, yeah. He was fucking curraghing around Ireland.
Nice.
I forgot his name. He came to one of my shows once. That was a great show. He would fucking take the Curragh all through all the fucking Irish nooks and crannies, you know?
Yeah. But that is another way to exactly define nooks and crannies, is going up and down the river. And you don't know where you can stop off anywhere and just you don't know what's going to happen.
The good news is I can take Hannah over there and relive all these things. See her wonder for the first time. I mean,
absolutely.
Is there anything like looking at the wonder of the visitor as they stand on Ladies View, where Queen Victoria once stood, looking out over the lakes of Killarney, and just thinking to yourself, I can see why Americans think that leprechauns exist, because this is a magical place.
Yeah.
And I know it's super touristy now, but I don't care what anybody says. The first time you look out over the lakes of Killarney from Ladies View, you're experiencing senses that you never experienced before. That's getting you deep, especially if you're Irish American and you feel like you've got some sort of fucking DNA connection to the place, you know?
Yeah.
That's a fucking special moment, you know?
Oh, she has it all ahead of her.
We'll hit the road.
We'll hit the road. 100%.
Thanks so much, Steve. What's your Instagram these days?
Oh, it's just the Stephen Mullen, whenever this bloody film comes out.
Yeah.
And there's no other crack, really. I'm just hanging around for the summer, waiting, looking after the girls and school in September, hopefully.
Oh, my God.
Trainers.
Is she going to be in a uniform like that? That she's
in
big
to be
school?
A uniform. That's it. Oh, no, my daughter. No, I'll be going to school. No, she's.
Oh, you're going to school. Sorry, yeah, yeah. I thought you were talking about your child.
She's got another year of preschool. Actually,
going to first year, no?
Yeah, first year. She's going to Irish dancing now. I got to take her to Irish dancing.
So what are you going to do? Like, you doing BA? Or are you doing BESS?
BA. What's BSS?
Oh, didn't it was like business economics and social studies, or is that,
there was a thing called, I think they still do, there's a thing called BESS.
Yeah, BESS, BESS, that's what I was saying, yeah.
Yeah, business economics,
social
sociology,
studies.
and blah.
Yeah.
No, I'm just doing English literature and philosophy, I think.
Or social sciences.
Social sciences, yeah.
So sorry, what are you doing?
English lit and philosophy.
All right, and you're already accepted in, it's done?
Well, I got the marks, but the official.
So do you still have to apply through the CAO?
Yes, but it's kind of just a paperwork thing, because this is what's called facilitated entry. So nice. they already got my results. They know what the crack is, and they've been like monitoring. Like they kind of Trinity engaged with us all throughout this year of doing the access program as well. So we couldn't go, but we were technically, we got library cards for Trinity this year and we were allowed to use the library and all this kind of stuff.
Now, let me ask you this.
Mm.
Were you the best in the class.
I honestly, we don't, we made a pact between us that we don't talk about results, because, which I think is a good thing, because
that's
it just,
a great thing. Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't talk about results all year. So, I think, yeah, just everybody's at different places, aren't they? And, like everyone has their own achievements. And, so for some people,
what are you, a fucking professional athlete now all of a sudden? You can do media training in the meantime? Jesus Christ, what a non-answer.
Give a fucking straight answer, will you? So I don't know where I finished in the class is the bottom line, but I'm very, I'm delighted with how the year went. So I'll tell you, this is how it went. This wouldn't be, my father came over last night with a load of cheeses from Sheridan's and crackers and fancy this and that and a bottle of Prosecco to say congratulations. So the parents are proud of me anyway.
Wow, that's great.
That's
congrats,
pretty
you
cool.
Finally got their approval.
Exactly.
It only took 3.5 decades.
Yeah, exactly. But there you go. So it's happy days. Looking forward to it next year now.
All right, Steve. Well, sure. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care,
man.
Bro.
Fair play to you. So thanks, guys. Like I said, don't be afraid to DM me on that stuff from the beginning of the episode. If you have any suggestions on who to talk to. Also, you know what I think would be a great discussion? And I really would like to talk to somebody who's in the world of mental health. Because after this Naomi Osaka situation and, you know, what sort of began as a standoff between her and the French Open and then evolved into what I think is a much more serious mental health issue for Naomi Osaka, which I hope that she's going to be able to get through. I wanted to talk to somebody on sort of what they feel professionally is the best way forward in terms of workplace situations that are difficult, how to deal with them both privately and publicly, what's the best course of action in terms of like a HR situation, when is it good to take a stand and say, I can't do this because of my mental health? And when is it better to, I guess, push past the fear? This is not related to Naomi Osaka. It just brought up a load of questions for me on sort of what is actually the healthiest way to deal with these situations. Because I know her situation is very, it's heightened, isn't it? You know, like the world's media looking at you, the pressure of sport. But it did get me thinking about the whole issue of how we should be able to kind of call in on a mental health day the same way we do when we're sick. But then at the same time, when is it good to do that? And when is it actually bad for your mental health to do that? Just questions that I have. So I'm on the hunt for somebody to talk to on that front. So any suggestions, do send them my way. The best suggestions are people that you have some sort of a connection to that can give me an in. Because I'm terrible at just like cold messaging people. And that's on me. I appreciate that. That's on me. I know that. But a lot of times I get great suggestions of like very high level people in the field, which is great, but I just don't know how to reach out to them, don't have a connection. So if you have like a connection to somebody who you think would be good, do hit me up in the DMs at Des Bishop, and we'll be back next week with hopefully some of this stuff that I'm talking about, maybe not. It all depends if I get it together. Oh, also, shows this weekend, if you're in New York, in Long Island, at the Governor's Levittown with Hannah. So that should be fun. Our first shows together. So Friday, Saturday. And then next Thursday in New York at the City Winery on the West Side. Very few tickets left for that. So grab the last few tickets. There's tickets left for Long Island because it was originally sold out based on the social distancing. But just the other day, they've opened up more tickets. So they actually opened up more than half. So, you know, originally, I think the full capacity was 150. And now it's up. Or actually, I think it was 125. Now it's up to 270. So now there's a ton of tickets. So go go and check that out if you're in Long Island and you listen to the pod. I know I always say this, but I will soon have the 2022 Mia Mama dates. Did a couple of Mia Mama bits on stage last night. Actually, they did well. Those bits I kind of did on the late, all the year and a half ago. God, time flies. Anyway, guys, fun ep. See you next week. Have a good one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.